The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Welcome to another program with Truths to Live By, a ministry of Harriman Baptist Tabernacle in Harriman, Tennessee. You're listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. I pray we would be a blessing to you today. With our Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, we begin now in our study through the second half of this first epistle to the church in Corinth. We'll begin with a word of prayer. Father, Lord, I thank you for the grace of God. I thank you for your mercy and your peace. Thank you for your loving kindness. And I come now in Jesus' name asking for your grace and power to help me preach the Word of God, that the truth of the Lord would penetrate the hearts of men. We need you in these days. I pray you would guide us, guard us, and give us what we must have in order to glorify Christ in these last days. Thank you for first loving us and for saving a wretch like me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. With our Bibles open now to 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, verse number 1. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Paul begins this section of the epistle concerning the things that the saints had written unto him. In the first half, the written word of God, chapters 1 through 6, comes to the church at Corinth in reproof of their own lives. In this second section, chapters 7 through chapter 15, we find the written word of God comes to the church in Corinth in response to their own letter. In chapter 7, Paul deals with marriage and divorce. In chapter 8, he deals with things offered unto idols and the corresponding responsibility and charity that governs one's personal liberty in Christ. Chapter 9, he deals with providing properly for the Lord's servants who minister in the spiritual things of God. In chapter 10, he deals with doing all things whatsoever we do for the glory of God. Chapter 11, he deals with the Lord's Supper, how it should be received and viewed reverently. In chapters 12 through 14, he deals with matters concerning spiritual gifts, their place in the church, and the greatest and enduring way of charity in chapter 13. Then he refutes any and all heresy concerning the resurrection of our Lord and of the body in chapter number 15. Now our text today, beginning here in chapter 7, verse number 1, lies in a section that I want to entitle the Christian and personal relationships. You find in chapter 7, our personal lives. Paul deals with much concerning my life and your life as a Christian. In chapter 8, he deals with our personal liberty. So let's look back now to chapter 7. We read verse 1 together. Paul spells out very plainly that he is beginning to answer the things that they had wrote unto him. In the first 17 verses of chapter 7, we see marriage and its covenant before God. I use the word covenant because in verses 2 through 5, we find phrases such as his own and hath not power, also but the husband, but the wife, and except it be with consent. So there is a covenant. There is a mutual agreement. There is to be a mutual enjoyment between husband and wife. In marriage, two become one. There's a covenant existing between one man and one woman and God for life. Paul gives admonition in the first 6 verses of the chapter. Admonition for this area of marriage. Notice in the first 2 verses we see the boundaries outside marriage that must be respected. Verse 1, there is a boundary for physical purity. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. That means it is still wrong, men, for you to put your hands on any woman other than your wife, and in your daughter's case, only in the right places. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. These boundaries that we're discussing now are lines that must not be crossed if we would know God's blessings upon our lives in preparation for the marriage altar. To cross these lines, these no trespassing signs, would bring scars, sorrows, and sin into the life and the marriage relationship. But then also, the boundary of sexual purity. Verse 2, nevertheless, to avoid fornication. Let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Fornication, sexual immorality, when two people act married who are unmarried. Paul says, avoid it, abstain from it, flee from it. Remember chapter 6, verse 18, flee fornication. Do not try and fight it. Flee it. With all of your might, flee it. It is always right. Therefore, flee it. It is right to run in the opposite direction of fornication. The results of this sexual immorality are irreversible, unforgettable, but praise God, they are avoidable. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication. But then not only boundaries outside marriage that must be respected. There are the bonds inside marriage that must be respected. Beginning with verse 3 down through verse 5, we see personal respect for the marriage bond. And then Paul gives his respect for the marriage bond. In verse 6, he says, but I speak this by permission and not of commandment. We must remember that Paul is speaking from the perspective of an unmarried man, and therefore has an intimate knowledge of that single life in which he supremely and solely dedicates himself to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. As an apostle, he did not discourage marriage, but as an apostle, he did not demand marriage. And so neither should we demand one or the other. But we should always define marriage within the boundaries and within the bonds that God's Word has clearly spelled out. Back to these bonds of holy matrimony. There is first the duties inside marriage. These duties are twofold. They are conjugal, and then they are consecrated. By conjugal, I mean that which belongs to marriage, that which is suitable to the married state. You see this in verse number 3. We are to render our benevolence to our spouse. Verse 4, we are to render our bodies to our spouse. Verse 3, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The word due here deals with that marital and moral obligation. Benevolence deals with the conjugal duty. We are talking about that intimate relationship between a husband and a wife, in which they are united together, not only mentally and emotionally and ceremonially, but physically in a marriage union, that which belongs and is suitable to the marriage state of one man and one woman, even of a husband and his wife. Verse 4, render your body. Why should we perform the conjugal duty? Because in verse 4, the wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. And so we see that this is a duty that we ought to perform. Then in verse 5, we see the consecrated duties. It is clear from this verse that neither Paul nor the Lord is requiring marriage partners to separate permanently for the sake of consecrated duty. If God has brought you together in marriage, then serve Him together and stay together and be a witness for the glory of God as a married couple. Now, in the times of ministry, different obligations and different requirements may move us to separate for a time, such as a husband on a mission field doing pioneer work. He may have to advance forward, leaving wife and children at home to blaze a trail that they might follow after. But in all of this, Paul is dealing very specifically here that there is to not be any defrauding one of the other. Don't hold back, except there is mutual consent for a time. Why? That you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, that consecrated duty. But come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. There is the dangers inside marriage. We must protect our fidelity, our faithfulness one to another, by coming together again. And we must remember that there is still the problem of our flesh, even incontinency or one's inability to contain the natural tendencies. Paul says we ought to respect the bonds inside marriage. We thank you for making this ministry a part of your day. And in closing, we want to point you to the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And truly, it is written. God's Word, every word, presents us with truths to live by. You've been listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. Please send all correspondence to Truths to Live By, P.O. Box 575, Harriman, Tennessee, 37748. Or you can email us at bmarkcooley@gmail.com. And finally, brethren, pray for us.